Wait a minute! This guy says the coronavirus is one of the least deadly pandemics the world has seen in 2,000 years. So why does this guy say we all need to get vaccinated against that virus, or else? Plus, it turns out when they closed down our churches and let Grandma die alone in the nursing home, it was all okay. Because just for complying with Uncle Sam, our bishops got $3 billion. Sounds reasonable to me. But wait, there's more. Remnant TV has discovered that those masks we're all wearing may not be keeping us as safe as we thought they were. Now what are we gonna do?
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Michael Matt coming to you once again from the offices of the Remnant newspaper. Little housekeeping tonight. In a world full of bad news, we've got some good news. We are going to have, we're announcing now officially, right? Mm-hmm. The Catholic Identity Conference 2021 is going to take place, come hell or high water, I guess. Unless the COVID police take us out, it's going to be held on
October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
We've got some great speakers coming in this year. Last year, we packed out the house. It was fantastic. One exciting addition to the roster already is, wait for it, Abby Johnson is going to be speaking, the champion pro-life warrior. I'm really excited about that. I want to talk her into doing like a planned, her movie planned, maybe having it after hours, evening at a movie night. Yeah, one of the nights of the conference. So looking forward to that. Like I say, the roster is just now being filled out, but please mark your calendars, save the dates, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 2021. I hope to see you there. So that's good news.
Hey folks, thanks so much for watching. If you'd like more Michael Matt, you can follow him on Facebook and also on Twitter.
Boom. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Nice.
Thanks, man.
On the bad news front, Rush Limbaugh has passed away. Everyone's been talking about that all week, and there's so many things that could be said. I know he impacted us, a lot of us here at The Remnant over the years. I think I started listening to Rush back in the 90s. And of course, the storied partnership with his longtime producer and call screener, Bo Snerdly, really puts the lie to the slander coming from the left, of course, that Rush was a racist, you know, that he represented a whole country full of racists. It's just all that bunk, that nonsense. I don't think you're probably going to see this next clip on CNN, but I think it's worth considering in the light of all the race wars that are going on. Check this out.
And beyond all of those accomplishments, Rush Limbaugh was one of the finest human beings that you would ever want to meet. A generous, wonderful, beautiful spirit, humble, a gentleman, always, never failed to thank people for the smallest service that they could do to him, never look down on people. It burns me to my soul when people sully his reputation with falsehoods, calling him a racist. This man was just an incredible phenomenon. And we love you, Rush. God bless you. And thank you, Sean, for having me with you to talk about Rush.
What a beautiful segment. You know, this false narrative, you know, about if you're a conservative, you're a patriot, you're a racist. Oh my gosh, how much longer is this nonsense going to go on? Especially now. I find it so ironic when you consider, you know, Klaus Schwab and the great Reset Gang, the World Economic Forum. I mean, you look at those fellas, not a lot of black people on the roster there, you know. You got these white maniacs like Bill Gates going down into Africa and telling all the little black people how to live their lives and how many kids to have because you're just too stupid. What does he do with his hands all the time?
Yeah. Oh, man,
you need to do something about the population, whatever. This guy is unbelievable. I don't know why anyone would not see what he's doing in Africa and India as anything else but the ultimate expression of white supremacism, right down to telling these people how many kids they can have. Unless they're going to be accused of killing the planet. But now, Bill Gates is not a racist, and Rush Limbaugh was. You know, enough with that, really. That is so kindergarten, so childish. It really has to stop, and hopefully it will soon when it becomes a caricature. Calling someone a racist just doesn't even mean anything anymore. You know, it's just the last refuge of the unimaginative AOC type. You're a racist!
Do you believe President Trump is a racist?
Yeah, no question.
Whatever, sweetheart. Call us when the shuttle lands, you know? And Rush, you know, I got to say before I move to the next segment, Rush did more. Now remember, yeah, he wasn't a Catholic. But then again, because he wasn't a Catholic, he didn't have the benefit of the sacraments. You know, I heard some traditional Catholic critics of Rush Limbaugh. He wasn't a good enough guy, and we shouldn't be praising him because he wasn't Catholic. But I would just remind people that his lifespan is the span of the Catholic Church in total revolution, when there wasn't much going on outside of scandal in the world's number one moral authority. And yet somehow Rush Limbaugh managed to find a way to fight the good fight. More effectively, I might add, than the vast majority of all the American Catholic bishops combined, ironically enough. And then his last push, Rush's last push on this earth, was to try to help us one last time, try to help wake the nation to what's really going on with this international COVID hysteria, the lockdowns, you know, which really history is going to report what's going on, is going to record what we've all lived through as the most egregious attack on human liberty in the history of the world. That's what we're living through. And this past Ash Wednesday, the day that Rush Limbaugh died, by the way, we were all reminded once again of just how right guys like Rush were to be concerned about the lockdowns, when even the distribution of ashes now inside of the house of God was to be regulated by the globalists because they know what's best.
This Wednesday, if you head to church to get ashes for the beginning of Lent, expect a few changes. COVID protocols are in place, meaning you have to sign up to go to Mass. Instead of the traditional distribution of ashes, Catholic priests may sprinkle the ashes on top of your head.
Now, when you go to gas up your car, have you noticed this? You go to gas up your car every day, and you got to punch in on that little keypad, you got to punch in your zip code for some reason. I don't know if that's for marketing or tracking or whatever the heck it's for. But you got to take your little finger and go to that little keypad and punch in your little zip code. Now, that's the same little keypad that's been touched by 1,000 COVID-infected folks all day long before you got there. That's fine. We don't have to worry about that. But ashes in the form of a cross on your forehead? No. It's too dangerous. And the bishops poking off from underneath their beds where they're hiding from COVID. You don't want us to do a cross on the forehead? Okie dokie. Okay, that's great, sir. Tell us what else you want us to do. These are the mighty Catholic bishops, friends, being dictated to by globalists and secularists and Democrats. It's so embarrassing. So we'll put this little meme up on the screen. Now, it's just a silly little meme, and some critics of mine pointed out that it was necessary now for the bishops to insist that we comply by sprinkling the ashes rather than smudging the ashes, because that's the way they did it 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. I see. So just like it was necessary to receive communion in the hand, because that's the way they did it 2,000 years ago, now it's necessary to do this with ashes. Our bishops are evidently just having another one of their little rad-trad hot flashes and trying to do what they were doing 2,000 years ago to be, you know, good little tree. I'm sure that's what it is. First, they told us that Christ in the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, was going to kill us from the COVID, right? And now it's ashes on Ash Wednesday that threaten to kill us all and, of course, threaten the planet. Is everybody okay with this? Because this is ridiculous. This is stupid. This is so silly that it hurts. You know, our good little compliant shepherds masked up, shut down, and closed our churches. They deprived us of the sacraments. They let our grandmothers die alone in nursing homes. And now they're going to sprinkle ashes on us to keep us safe. And maybe to make a little cash on the side.
Tonight we are learning more about where your money is going in the wake of COVID-19. One place, the Catholic Church, $1 billion+. And some may never be paid back. Tonight our Jeremy Ross explains why there are allegations locally that cash will revamp the church's accounts hit hard by sex abuse settlements.
Faith may fill Chicago's churches, but outside their walls, there is growing scrutiny.
It's shocking to me.
It makes me sadder more than anything.
Through a special exemption, the U.S. Roman Catholic Church received at least $1.4 to more than $3.5 billion in taxpayer-backed coronavirus aid.
Okay. Have you had enough yet? They made billions of dollars when they locked us out of our churches. And now they're still doing their Catholic relief fundraisers to get a little more out of us? I'm speechless. And now guess what? Now we learn that if a Vatican employee refuses to get a coronavirus shot without a valid medical reason, Team Francis is going to can them. They're going to lose their jobs. A February 8th decree signed by the governor of the Vatican City State makes it official. Get vaccinated or get lost. Now, what is wrong with these guys? Are they senile? Are they being blackmailed? I mean, you don't have to be a conservative, friends, to be worried about the COVID vaccines, right? I mean, they were tested over the course of months, not years. That just isn't done. And there are plenty of regular people out there who aren't sporting the tinfoil hats who are very concerned about the long-term effects of the vaccinations. Even Mark Zuckerberg is concerned.
I share some caution on this because we just don't know the long-term side effects of basically modifying people's DNA and RNA.
Wow. I mean, he may have the Velcro hair there, but I agree with Zuck on this one, don't you?
He makes a good point.
I wish So now, I've come to think of it, Francis is now to the left of Mark Zuckerberg. Because he apparently has no concerns at all over the long-term effects of the vaccinations. And remember what happened last time they tried to keep us safe with a rushed vaccine?
Remember the swine flu scare of 1976? That was the year the U.S. government told us all that swine flu could turn out to be a killer that could spread across the nation. And Washington decided that every man, woman, and child in the nation should get a shot to prevent a nationwide outbreak, a pandemic. Well, 46 million of us obediently took the shot. And now 4,000 Americans are claiming damages from Uncle Sam amounting to $3.5 billion because of what happened when they took that shot. By far the greatest number of the claims, two-thirds of them, are for neurological damage or even death, allegedly triggered by the flu shot.
That's Mike Wallace sounding the alarm in that case, not Bobby Kennedy Jr. Lots of people are concerned. They've been concerned for a very, very long time. Your Holiness. So the question is, does this 84-year-old pontiff of ours, does he actually believe all this globalist rot, or is he just doing what he's told? Because even Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum, he admits in his book that the coronavirus is, quote, one of the least deadly pandemics the world has ever experienced over the last 2,000 years, end quote. That is Klaus Schwab. We must reimagine the fact that COVID's not going to kill you. That's Klaus. On page 48 of his own book, COVID-19, The Great Reset, Klaus Schwab writes that COVID, quote, does not constitute an existential threat or a shock that will leave its imprint on the world's population for decades, end quote. That's Klaus Schwab. So what? What are we doing? What are we talking about here? Pope Francis wants to vaccinate us all against COVID. Please, excuse my French, but what the hell is wrong with this guy? What makes this bizarre old codger think that he's somehow qualified to mandate vaccines to save the pilot whale from plastic straws in the ocean? What is his problem? You know, his own church is in shambles, financial ruin, financial scandals in the Vatican, mass exodus from the church, a massive clerical sex scandal. And I'm sorry, but this papal buffoon wants us all to get vaccinated, or else. And what's next inside the Vatican? No more beef? Because that's what Bill Gates wants.
But I read in one of the interviews you gave in the last week or two, it was just published, you said rich nations should move to 100% synthetic beef.
Yeah, unless we can make the cow zero emission, which, you know, I'm not sure we can, we do need to make to get rid of those emissions. And, you know, it's not going to happen overnight. The scale up and the innovation still required there is quite large. But yes, zero is a very demanding number, and it doesn't allow you to say, well, all but, you know, that 6% that comes from cows. Mm-hmm.
What's next for Pope Francis? Two or three vaccinations a year or every other year, because that's what Bill Gates wants.
So you might need a third shot this year. And then if it's still out there, we'll be looking at how your antibodies, how your protection goes down over time and deciding how often you'll need another shot. Probably not yearly, but, as long as it's out there, we want, you know, as many Americans as possible not to be spreading it to each other.
Now, here's the thing, friends. You know this. COVID, all things COVID, have but one point in purpose. Not about your health. The point and purpose of COVID, the lockdowns, the masks, and everything else is the green agenda, climate change, the Sustainable Development Goals, the United Nations Agenda 2030. Now, if you scratch the surface of what these guys are saying, if you read their books, they will admit this. They're quite open about it. COVID has provided the opportunity they've been waiting for years.
So I hope this COVID crisis will create sufficient drive for each government to be more open for global cooperation.
They admit this. So why do you deny it? Why are you still screaming at people who are not wearing masks in the store? Did you see this video that surfaced the other day? A few folks, yeah. They went into a grocery store without their masks on. Mm-hmm. You would think it was Tirsa and Miriam Herr as lepers walking in there. Check this out.
Hey, don't touch me. Don't touch me. That's assault. That's assault. You touch me, that's assault. You touch me, that's assault.
So wear those masks indefinitely, friends, because guess what? You don't have a choice. This isn't going away if people don't wake up, and you got Francis over there reinforcing it all with the full moral authority of the Catholic Church. And any opposition to the science is going to be criminalized. I'm convinced the day is coming when this kind of broadcast will be against the law.
In perhaps the most comprehensive review of the evidence on masks to date, Dr. Paul Alexander and his co-authors write, "It is not unreasonable at this time to conclude that surgical and cloth masks have absolutely no impact on controlling the transmission of COVID-19, and current evidence implies face masks can be actually harmful." Dr. Atlas, why has this study from May by the CDC been completely memory-holed?
Yeah, Laura, thanks for having me. Well, you know, masks are really the radioactive issue of this whole pandemic. And it's really something that is a real case study in how people have just simply ignored all the data that's contrary to what they want to believe and want everybody else to believe. The CDC study in May 2020 and all the randomized studies of masks showed that masks on the general population for influenza pandemics do not stop the transmission nor receiving the infection. That's what they say in two or three different ways in that article that's never reported. What is the end game here? When are we going to be able to live normally? And what's worse, we never knew the power of fear in people acquiescing to things, even if they don't believe in them.
You know, here's the thing, friends, and I'll close on this. What we do here at Remnant TV is not Fox News, obviously. You know, in the spirit of Jean Rousseau in his book Action, we're constantly scanning the horizon for whomever sees at least part of what's going on here, part of what the revolution is truly all about. It has been for a long, long, long time. You know, and Fox News is in that category, at least the nighttime, the evening talk shows on Fox News are in the category of people who are seeing what's going on. And what's more important, they're waking up many, many people. But our mission here at Remnant TV is essentially to reinvigorate a spiritual war. Especially as lay people, this is what we're called to do. We're not priests, but we're called to go to war. And this is a holy war against the cross. And like it or not, against the traditional Catholic Church. This is how I see it. And I would encourage our Protestant friends. We've got a lot of them out there. And I really, really, as I've said before, appreciate in this audience how many Protestant friends we have who also realize something terribly wrong is going on. You know, and I would encourage you to set partisanship aside and recognize the war against Christendom, which began 500 years ago against the Catholic Church. The church had to go first if these globalists had any hope, had any chance of establishing what is really now a new religion with a new theology, the theology of climate change, and a new goddess, Mother Earth, which has replaced God, God the Father, you see? And again, even in our own church, you see the Pachamama scandal in the Vatican, you know, replacing the Blessed Mother with a pagan Pachamama. At least that's how it looks to millions of people looking on to what the Vatican was doing during a recent synod. That's what's happening. It's a new religion. And after Vatican II, all hell broke loose in this church. I didn't start at Vatican II, as we've said so many times in the past, but Vatican II was the great coming out party of the modernists who were condemned 100 years ago by the great popes of our church. And modernists are basically globalists with theology degrees. It's the same gang, in other words. And I remember in the archives, remnant archives of my father's file, after Vatican II, radio personality Paul Harvey, who was not a Catholic, obviously, he wrote a letter to my father expressing his concerns over what was happening to the Catholic Church. And he said, I'm not a Catholic, but I know what a lighthouse is, and I fear that the light from the grandest lighthouse in history, the Catholic Church, is going dark, and that the world is about to crash on the rocks as a result of that. This was Paul Harvey. Not a Catholic, but he understood. And this was in 1967. They had to take the Catholic Church down. And that's what we're living through. Pope Francis is not the cause of anything. He's a consequence. He's a cheap, predictable, inevitable consequence of what's been going on in the church for 100 years. You see? They infiltrated our church. They infiltrated our seminaries. They subverted our catechisms. They turned them upside down. They invaded the schools. They trashed the altars and sanctuaries of our churches. They made the priesthood into a gay profession. They mangled the ancient Roman rite of Mass, turning it into something it had never been. Why did they do this? Because they had to crush, if you want to put it in these terms, they had to crush the largest and most powerful Christian denomination in the world if there was going to be room for this new world order. You see how serious and how long this has been going on. So do you understand why we looked at Donald Trump as a possible ally in opposing these people? Because he had some power and he had some insight as to what they were really all about. You see? Same with the people at Fox News. Same with a lot of conservative, sort of non-Catholic, but conservative websites and blogs all around the country right now. Lots of people are looking at the same demonic manifestation, Christophobic manifestation, anti-Christian manifestation. And whatever they call it, that's what it is. And to the extent that they oppose it, they are our allies. No matter how imperfect that alliance is, it's important. You know? And now in our own churches, they're locking us. After all the hardship, all the persecution that Catholics went through at the hands of their own shepherds, now, where they ripped out our liturgies and our customs and everything else, our feast days, our holy days, they tore it all apart, our calendars, everything had to change. They erased Catholicism in the lives of Catholics. And now what are they doing? Now they're locking us out of our own churches, friends. They're masking us up. They're depriving us of sacraments. And they're demanding compliance with this new secularist, pantheistic, Masonic, whatever you want to call it, this new world regime that would make Joseph Stalin and Adolf Hitler envious. They could have only have dreamt about this kind of world domination. And the Catholic Church in her human element is all on board with this. And this is not just a problem for Catholics. The Catholic Church was the moral authority of the world. That's collapsing. That's why the cities are on fire. That's why the babies are dying. That's why there's chaos in the streets. Because there's no moral authority left. Because they tore it down. And now instead of worrying about the things of the soul, we're worrying about the things of the body. And now instead of worrying about the afterlife, we're worried about the life of the planet. You see what they're doing? It's an inversion. It's the ape of God. And it impacts and affects every single one of us. And this is why I said earlier, you cannot stay in denial any longer about what they're trying to do. You have to see what's happening here before you can get up and fight. And there's every reason to fight, as I'll talk about in a moment. This is a far, far thing from a lost cause. But we have to ask ourselves, what's it going to take to wake us up? What is it going to take, fellow Catholics, to wake you up? Is it going to take Vatican approval of abortion? Perhaps a papal approval of gay marriage? Give them time, because that's where this is going. Just give them time and ask yourself, where's the line in the sand for you? What will they do that's going to go too far for you, that will make you stand up and resist with everything you have? These are the ones, these shepherds, these are the people who should be guarding the fort, but instead they've betrayed it. The shepherds, the guardians, they have betrayed us all. They have betrayed the world. Whether you're Catholic, Protestant, a non-believer, you have to understand this. A massive betrayal that will impact us all. And there's no one else to blame. I don't blame Black Lives Matter. I don't blame liberals. I don't blame CNN. They're all the victims of this. They're victims of a Christless society. They're victims of a society and a world that no longer has a moral barometer. You can't blame them. I blame, friends, the shepherds, the people who should have known better, but who betrayed us all. And to drive home this point, we recently made an RTV video that I'm hoping that maybe you'll watch and you'll share, because I believe it's very important. It's called Children of Winter, and I want to share just a few moments of that with you now. This is the new normal. This is man without God. This is life without Christ. And who is to blame for the chaos that leaves our cities desolate and our playgrounds empty? Is it the children, the orphans of Christendom, fleeing their children, fleeing their mother's misery and their father's rage? Is it the mothers, driven so mad by the empty darkness that they would slaughter their own babies? Is it the fathers, then, the politicians, the race baiters, the warmongers, the criminals, the rapists, the arsonists, and the killers who have taken over our streets? No, not them, not first, not foremost, for these are victims too. These are the playthings of demons set loose on a Christless world that would burn the cross to the ground and crush the statues of angels and saints, the stone reminders of the past, reminders of a love that is no more. Now, if this hellish chaos, this modern angel of death, if this is the price we must pay for banishing Christ from our midst, then surely the representatives of Christ, the defenders of Christ, the proclaimers of Christ, the shepherds who have abandoned Christ on this new cross, surely the blame must be laid at their feet. The silent, the complicit, the cowardly guardians of the flock, the gatekeepers who have abandoned their posts, the sentries who sleep to the sound of screaming sheep in the night, the watchmen who have closed their eyes, the priests who would defile both sanctuary and child, the bishop who think nothing of leaving lambs in the gullets of wolves while they eat at the tables of demons, or the popes, the successors of St. Peter, who ignore the sound of cocks crowing all over the world. Please click the link above, I guess, to watch that, and below in the description to watch and share the rest of that, because it's so important, friends, that we become aware of this. And this is part of a new project here at Remnant TV, by the way, to do more videos like this. It's not just about instructing people with the facts, informing them with the facts. We have to find a way to inspire counter-revolution. We have to make people cry and weep over what they've stolen from us. First, cry and weep, and then stand up and fight back. And that is an affair of the heart. We have to make people feel something in order to stand and fight for it. And that's what we're doing at Remnant TV with programs such as that one, videos such as that one. And you don't need to be a traditional Catholic to see the need to stand up and fight back right now.
I'd like to first recognize Almighty God, and secondly, Madam Chair, Vice Chair McCauley, Ranking Member Craig, and the honorable members of the committee. I'm the pastor of two parishes in Ohio, but I'm speaking here on my own behalf and on behalf of hundreds of people I know throughout the state who have been seriously affected by the mandates and restrictions, both individually and their businesses. I'm a doctor of a different kind than the doctors that just spoke. I'm a physician of souls. And I see the spiritual harm, the emotional harm that many have suffered the last 11 months, perhaps in a way far greater than the medical doctors see it. And it is indeed great, and in large part, it is not because of COVID itself. It is because of the restrictions, the mandates, the worrying about their jobs. And you may say, why do I care? As a priest, churches were not closed. Yes, but the governor shamed churches, such as my own two parishes, that remained open in March and April, saying or implying it was not an unchristian thing to do and that we were putting lives at risk. I've also spent the night in a hospital parking lot in the car because waiting for a change in staff to see a dying man because the woman in charge at the time would not even let me wait in the waiting room while he was in a surgery where he could have lost his life. Because she was more concerned about me getting COVID when I am at very little risk, in fact I've had it, then concern for his soul, and she literally told me, we have many that die without the priest, and that's just the way it is.
Good for you, Father. You know, I don't know who this priest is, but more priests need to do precisely that. Get up in the public square and speak your mind in defense of truth. Archbishop Vigano, Bishop Strickland, Bishop Schneider, Cardinal Burke, and others, they know we're being had. Bishops of the Catholic Church, they know we're being had, and they're speaking out, and they're changing hearts and minds all over the world. And we need to keep this in mind. Don't just measure the power of the Gateses and the Soros and the Bidens and the Pelosis and the rest of these clowns, but think of the people in positions of strength and influence who are changing, who are beginning to speak out, and take comfort in that. We have no excuse to lose hope. When my father started the Remnant back in 1967, I was 1 year old. He didn't have 75 million patriots on his side as we do right now. The Catholic Church was in revolution. It felt banners and guitars and silly season constantly. The sexual revolution was in full swing, and the world was in the middle of a global frat party. Nobody was looking back. It all looked so great at that point. And I remember what it was like in those years, to feel totally alone. The world thought we were crazy. The popes excommunicated us. The politicians outlawed our homeschools and legalized the slaughter of our babies. We didn't have a worldwide Latin mass movement. We didn't have anything like a Donald Trump revolution, a MAGA revolution. There was no guys like Rush Limbaugh around in those years. One archbishop stood with us, and the pope threw him out of the church. You know? So when I say don't give up, it's not just a pious platitude. When I say don't despair, don't lose hope, those aren't just words, friends. I'm speaking from personal experience of having lived through what seemed to be a hopeless and dismal lost cause back in the early 1970s. You know, we lived through this. We never thought that we would see the triumph and the victories that we've seen so far already in my lifetime, and I'm not that old. But the thing is, God wasn't with the revolution then, and he isn't with it now. And that's what you need to think about every night. He's on your side. You are not alone. None of us, not one of us, is alone. Christ was silent for a time in those years, just as he was silent and sleeping in the boat on the Sea of Galilee. But here's the thing. Once the storm had gotten so bad that his friends grew terrified, frightened, and turned to him, in desperation and begged him to intercede, what happens? What happens? Christ was not silent anymore. And he stretched his hands out over the sea and he calmed the storm. These are not merely Bible stories or pious platitudes. This is the truth. This is what we need to consider right now in the middle of this darkest moment, friends. We are not going to lose if we remember this. And yeah, we're afraid. I'm afraid. Fear at this time, if you're not afraid, you're crazy. Of course, it's a frightening thing to see what they do, the power that they have right now over the whole world. They've made the entire world put a face diaper on for no reason. That's a lot of power. Yeah, it's scary. I got little kids, and I wonder every day, you know, what this crazy world has in store for my little children. We all think those thoughts. It isn't pleasant. There's not much more that we can do, though, right now, other than teach them how to pray, teach the children how to believe, tell them the old stories, and enlist them in the army of God. Teach them how to fight and to survive and to outlive this revolution, which is exactly what's going to happen. And that, my friends, is everything that matters. There is but one good, C.S. Lewis reminds us in his Great Divorce, there is but one good, and that is God. Everything else is good when it looks to him, and bad when it turns away from him. And so we turn to him now, knowing that our salvation and the salvation of the entire world depends wholly on turning back to God. Yes, politics are important. Yes, economics are important. Yes, we need to stay involved in politics and do the very best we can, but always and forever, knowing that in the end, the world must turn back to God. And the world must see us as followers of Jesus Christ, keeping the faith despite the storm, no matter what happens, no matter who's in the White House, no matter who's in the Vatican, and no matter how long it takes. We're not alone. God, if you will, is in our camp so long as we stay loyal to him, so long as we continue to believe. He's in our camp. And millions of refugees from this infernal, diabolical New World Order are on their way to us, to that camp, to that refuge, to that place of safety and security. They always end up there, those who have kept the faith and understand what's going on. So we need to prepare for that. We need to keep the faith. And keep the faith, the expression, is no longer just a pious expression. It's no longer just a pious sentiment. It's a battle cry. It's a promise. And it's the only way. I'm Michael Matt for Remnant TV. Keep the faith. And we'll see you next week.